Grace to you and peace. This is one of those weeks where I was trying to figure out how to pull together about 17 different threads. And in that trying, I found a resource. Then I want to read to you a poem that is mentioned in that. This text, this idea of Jesus as king and God's kingdom in our earth is a complex one with lots of layers that come throughout our Hebrew Bible and into Jesus' life. And rather than fumble and stumble, I'll let the prose handle it. Let's go forward.
There's this beautiful poem. It's in the book of Isaiah.
The city of Jerusalem has just been destroyed by Babylon, a great kingdom in the north. And all of these Jewish people, they've been sent away into exile, but a few remained in the city. And they're left wondering, what just happened? Has our God abandoned us?
Right, because Jerusalem was supposed to be the city where God would reign over the world to bring peace and blessing to everyone.
Now, Isaiah had been saying that Jerusalem's destruction was a mess of Israel's own making. They had turned away from their God, become corrupt, and so their city and their temple were destroyed.
Yeah, everything seems lost.
But the poem goes on. There's a watchman on the city walls, and far out on the hills we see a messenger, and he's running towards the city. He's running and he's shouting, "Good news!" And Isaiah says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news."
Beautiful feet?
Yes. The feet are beautiful because they're carrying a beautiful message.
What's the message?
That despite Jerusalem's destruction, Israel's God still reigns as king, and that God himself is going to one day return to this city, take up his throne, and bring peace.
And the watchmen sing for joy because of the good news that their God still reigns.
Now, in the New Testament, we find this same phrase, the good news. It's the Greek word euangelion, and it's also sometimes translated with the word gospel.
Yeah, so when Christians say, "Do you believe the gospel?" they mean, "Do you believe the news?"
But not just any news. In the Bible, this phrase is always about the announcement of the reign of a new king. And in the New Testament, the Gospels use this phrase to summarize all of Jesus' teachings. They say that he went about proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom.
So Jesus saw himself as the messenger, bringing the news that God reigns.
Yes, but the way that he described God's reign, it surprised everybody. I mean, think, a powerful, successful kingdom. It needs to be strong, able to impose its will, able to defeat its enemies. But Jesus said the greatest person in God's kingdom was the weakest, the one who loves and who serves the poor. And he said that you live under God's reign when you respond to evil by loving your enemies and forgiving them and seeking peace. This is an upside-down kingdom.
Now, Jesus also said that this kingdom was arriving with him.
Yeah, so for example, there's this really interesting story where there's a high-ranking Roman officer, and he comes to
Jesus. He's healing people for
how all humanity has rebelled against God, resulting in the tragedy and devastation of our whole world. So how is God going to bring his reign over such a world? Jesus believed it would be through an act of sacrificial love for his enemies. This is why in the Gospels, Jesus' crucifixion is depicted as his enthronement as the king of the Jews.
Yeah, he receives a crown. He also receives a robe.
He's exalted up, not onto a throne, but onto the cross.
How beautiful are the feet that bring good news.
And the good news now is that Jesus has defeated death and that he reigns as king, that he's dealt with our sin and corruption himself and that he's conquered it with his life and with his love.
And then Jesus sends his followers to go out and keep announcing this good news of the upside-down kingdom.
And to invite everyone to give their allegiance to him, the king who defeated death with his love.
How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy, for in plain sight they see the return of the Lord. Break forth together in singing, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Yahweh, our God, has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all nations. And the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of it. Purify yourselves, you who carry the vessels of Yahweh. For you shall not go out in haste. You shall not go in flight. For the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be exalted and lifted up and shall be very high. Just as there were many who were astonished at him, so marred was his appearance, beyond human semblance, beyond that of mortals. So he shall startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. That which had not been told them, they shall see. That which they had not heard, they shall contemplate. Who's believed what we've heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised, rejected by others, a man of suffering, acquainted with infirmity, as one from whom others hide their faces. He was despised. And we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities, carried our disease. And yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by a God, afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. By his bruises, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned to our own way. And Yahweh, I am, has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers, he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked, the tomb with the rich. He had done no violence. There was no deceit in his mouth. And yet it seems it was the will of Yahweh, I am, to crush him with pain, to make his life an offering for sin. And he shall see his offspring. Through him the world of the Lord shall prosper. Out of anguish, he will see light. He will find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, God's servant, shall make many righteous. He shall bear our iniquities. Therefore, God will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured himself out, even unto death. Numbered with the transgressors, having borne the sins of many, still today, he makes intercessions for the transgressors, for you, for me. Amen.